Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and you can contact me anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John and everybody here at the station for working to make this show happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing?
Well, I'm one of the people sticking around this weekend.
You are sticking around this weekend. Well,
yes.
I do not fall into that category, but I appreciate that you are. Now, mine is not taking a daughter back to school, so I've got to head north of the border there. So. Get that hockey player back where it's cold enough for her to play.
Yes.
so yeah, we're going to be burning up some pavement after the show. So,
wow.
So I'll be out there with a bunch of other people. We have continued to have just an amazing August market. Tons of closings. We were coming off a record number in July. Another big month in August. Not quite as many, but still strong. There's not been much rest or time off.
No.
Okay. And one of the things that I always like to kind of report on is we like to start with our crazy celebrity real estate story and then push into our local story. So starting off with our crazy celebrity real estate story is there was a lot. So this is coming out of the Rob Report Auctions book. There was a lot in Beverly Hills that just 1 year ago was listed for $1 billion.
This is a lot.
It was a 157 acre lot known as the Mountain, and it is the highest peak up in the 90210 zip code.
Okay.
Now it was now it has sold for 0.01% of that $1 billion price, sold for $100,000. Now,
wow.
What happened? That was what the article. That's how the what do they call it online? The clickbait that got me into the article. In reality, what happened there is that this property was first bought by Herbalife's founder Mark Hughes back in 1997, but in 2004. A ton of like saga drama started happening with this property where he lent an Atlanta investor, Chip Dickens, $45 million to purchase the estate, assuming he was probably going to develop this into some. The views are just absolutely incredible. But there was steep interest rates and property fees and taxes associated with how he did that. And the debt on the property ballooned to $200 million.
Wow.
Okay, when that happened, he worked like a side deal and transferred the ownership to a business partner in another project.
Okay.
So then that's when it got listed for the $1 billion, because they were trying to just turn it and then pay off that $200 million that they owed. What ended up happening is they tried to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but it failed. Probably they weren't able to shield the assets in the way they thought they were. So the estate had to make a decision. They go ahead and do a foreclosure auction, where they go to process the foreclosure, and which they would have the debt owed against it, presumably in first position of that $200 million. So technically, what could have happened? Somebody could have shown up at that auction, you know, bid that, you know, if the bid got to the $200 million, they more than likely that would have been accepted, and then they would have moved on. Since there was only about 20 people that showed up, and none of them to bid. Opening bid for the $100,000. What basically happens in that point is the Hughes estate, they swallow that, they take back and swallow that $200 million delinquent loan, take back over the property because they've now foreclosed on it.
Yeah.
And now we will see what they end up doing with the property.
Wow.
So was it a $100,000 sale, McKay? I mean, technically it's recorded that way. But there's some stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we alluded to before we did our crazy celebrity real estate story is we always like to then temper that with a local news story that explains what's going on in the market. Mm-hmm. And so very, very interesting to look at one of the big factors that we're seeing right now. And we just talked about having a record number of closings in July. Mm-hmm. We talked about having on track where we had another huge, huge August. And so what happens is we start to look at what is going on with rates. And so off of bankrate.com earlier this week, I did my research on this on Thursday, printed off the mortgage rates. And what we have happening there is we've had rates fall, and they've been falling. And so they were quoting earlier this week an APR of 3.8%. Okay. So a rate of 3.6, 3.8. McKay, that's under 4%. Liven up over there. I mean, this is insane. Okay.
Well, I knew that they were floating around there, but
yeah, and we're talking 15-year mortgages. We've talked about the advantage of paying less interest and paying those off
then you
quicker.
Get them done faster.
Those rates right now are hovering in the range, depending upon which lenders you talk to, of 3.25, 3.25 to 3.5.
Wow.
I mean, rates have come back down again. To when we would do those radio shows 3 years ago, and we're talking about, like, these rates are stupid. I mean, these are they're ridiculously, ridiculously low. That is spurring a lot of activity. We've talked in the market about people talking about, well, I feel like the prices are inflated, or the prices are have been higher and they're up there. The only one of the good things about buying right now is the fact that with not knowing where interest rates will go in the future, here we've come off a 5-year massively historical bottom. But once again, right now in this market, with what's going on with Wall Street, and we've seen some tumbling there in the past couple weeks, some turmoil there. We've seen for the first time in years the Fed's cut the rate. So we've got interest rates responding to that and coming in back, headed back down to very, very, very close to historical lows. So those rates are incredible. If you previously, and another reason I brought this in today to talk about is we had a number of buyers that were pre-approved 5-6 months ago at 4.5%.
Now they want to go back.
They're coming back and they're pre-approved at 3.8%. Well, the way it changes their payment, they can now afford more house.
Ooh.
And so if you were on the bubble before, or you were within $6,000-$8,000 of your ideal home, or pulling the trigger on that purchase and doing it, have your lender, get a hold of your lender, give us a call if you need suggestions, and we can put you in contact with somebody. But that makes a big difference and can be the difference of buying now or waiting. And people say, well, gosh, rates came back down. What do you think? And well, I don't think I have a crystal ball, but
no.
Any time we're quoting rates, both the 30 and the 15 in the threes, I'm ecstatic and ecstatic for our buyers. So that is definitely something to be looking at.
Wow.
So McKay, a few months ago, I brought a study to the show, and I talked about millennial buyers, and what had happened is we had crossed over to where millennials were now representing the largest grouping of first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, early data coming out of this year, out of 2019, in the first couple quarters, is that millennials have represented 42% of all new home loans. So I thought about...
That's a lot.
Yeah, so I started to do a little bit of research. I went on to realtor.com, clicked through some resources as I was getting ready for the show. And I said, okay, we talked about that, but we also, so if we know that's the case, we've got the Parade of Homes coming up mm-hmm. next month. We're going to be talking about that. But if we know that's the case, what type of upgrades are attracting millennial buyers?
So besides painting the front door.
Exactly, exactly. You've been listening. So if 42% of all new home loans were done by millennials, are there some upgrades that you can be concentrating on? So the number one listed upgrade in that millennial home buyer purchase that they're looking for that can help attract those buyers is a home office space, some type of flex workspace, because remote work trend is on the rise, especially with that age group. And so if you have a dedicated workspace, if you properly have a home office set up and you can have that versatility to carve out a home office space, that's going to give you an advantage in attracting those home buyers.
And you see more homes being built with that space. And people go, what is that, like an extra living room? No, it's an office.
You're absolutely right. So wired properly, lit properly. Set up properly for that. That can be a big attractive factor for that millennial home buying group. Pick number two of what they're looking at is they have grown up with smartphones. And so they are looking for and attracted to smart tech. Yes. Have you updated your furnace controller to the Wi-Fi connected controller? Can you jump on your smartphone and go to your Honeywell app and dial in and cool down the house when you're coming back from that trip? And so when you go to the store and you look now at what's going on with those trends, that is driving consumer behavior. In fact, just a good example of this is earlier in the week, I was over at Best Buy. So I talked about my daughter. We were finishing up driver's ed. I was waiting for her to finish a class over there at the 911 driving school. Shout out to Sid. And so I went over to Best Buy to kill some time. They've just done a huge remodel.
I saw that.
First thing I noticed when I walked in was, you know what I walked into right after I went through the doors?
What?
Home technology has been moved to the front of the store. So that used to be in the back right corner for all the other nerds out there like myself that know where that is with Arlo cameras, door locks, all that good stuff. They've now moved all of that to the front of the store. What does that tell you about the trends and what the millennials are looking for?
That's what people want.
Home tech. So smart tech, whether it be with your furnace, whether it be with your doorbells, with your home security, with your monitoring, that is a big thing. Number two on the list that is attracting the millennial buyer. Number three on the list that they're looking for is energy efficient appliances and products. The millennial buyers, and it's a huge selling point, are choosing eco-friendly materials as part of that culture that they've grown up with. So they're looking for those energy efficient appliances. They're looking for that system that monitors the air quality in the house. They're looking for that system that takes a look at your habit patterns when you're in the house and out of the house and is adjusting your furnace to save money and energy cost. So that is number three on the list that is attracting millennial buyers. Number four, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that Gathering Place game room. Gathering Place game rooms coming in at number four on the list of upgrades that you can be looking at to attract a buyer group in 2019 that is purchasing 42% of the new home loans.
Wow. And we will take a look at that next on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been looking at some trends. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, we brought to the show a study talking about the power of the millennial home buying group as they're really coming into that point in their lives when they're starting to purchase real estate. 2019 numbers indicate about 42% of all home loans for first-time home buyers were by the millennial age group. So one of the things we've been going over, we've got Parade of Homes coming up. You might be remodeling your home to put on the market. And so that's a big segment of the market you probably don't want to ignore. So there's some things you could do to be highlighting and attracting. Some are bigger than others, but some are totally possible. And before the break, we talked a little bit about how you could stage an area, and you could stage it as a gathering place / game room. Some place for where there's a TV, or maybe a couple TVs, and there's some really cool staging that you can do to showcase that type of room and that gathering place. Number five on the list, and I love it because I'm not selling my house, but I've gone through and done this in my house just for convenience. And that is having areas that have USB outlets. So nobody likes to have, 29, chargers plugged into a power outlet strip. They make really, really cool outlets that are not super expensive now to where you can change out a standard, two-plug outlet to like a 4 to 6 slot USB outlet. So you're literally, you don't have all the thick cubes and trying to plug them in. Yeah, you can literally just plug your USB cords right into. So they make different configurations. You can get a 4 or a 6 USB plug outlet. You can get a plug that has 2 regular plugs and 2 USB plugs on the side. So I've seen them in a lot of different configurations. Really, really popular, though, if you have any type of mudroom area, or a lot of homes will do a countertop right when you come in your garage door that you throw your keys and your wallet on. Really consider replacing, if you have an outlet there with chargers, really consider upgrading or replacing that to a USB outlet.
Ooh.
Gives the house a little bit of a modern look, not super expensive, and people notice when they're walking through the houses and they see that, they totally notice. Number seven that we have on the list for attracting those millennial buyers, and that's a modern design. You'll see it, and if you have trouble knowing what that is, next month, go to the Parade of Homes because you'll see what the trends are. You'll see what the designers are doing now.
No shag carpet.
That's a huge
one. No wooden paneling.
Absolutely. And so what's happened a lot is the millennial demographics tend to prefer modern, sleek designs that have clean lines and kind of that minimalist aesthetic. And so look for that. What does that look like? To a lot of them, they have stainless steel appliances in the kitchen or stainless steel kitchens. It used to be real popular to do a lot of hardware or knobs on cabinets, but we've kind of gone back to just kind of that sleek, clean look without that and very distinct lines. So, so that modern design is also attracting that millennial buyer group. Outdoor living space is another one. And I got I got to tell you, we've had some good weeks in Tri-Cities and some good summer weeks, but man, McKay, last week, that temperature in that, you know, upper 80s, low 90s, I tell you, it makes it, I mean, I call it Tri-City Nights. I mean, those were, it was just so great to be in Tri-Cities and be out and about. And those are the times where outdoor living space is huge. Also, we're buying smaller, the millennials are buying smaller houses, many times a lot smaller than their parents had or the other generation had. And so they look to the outdoor living space because if they have smaller square footage, that extends the living space, makes the house feel bigger than it really is. So outdoor living space is a great one. And like I said, you're going to be seeing these ideas come to light at the Parade of Homes. They do a great job. You're going to be looking for that. Now, number nine is you're going to think this would be good for any generation. And I actually think it is, but it made the list here for a different reason. And that is extra power and garage outlets. Because there's no denying the fact we are seeing now more and more electric cars. And just as an example, you know, you used to only see one or two Teslas running around Tri-Cities. Well, if you've gone to California in the last year and a half and you want to think the trends move this way, trust me, it's crazy. Like every fourth car you see out there. So think what you want to think about electric cars, but we're seeing more and more of them make it to this area, becoming more mainstream. To support that, they need extra electrical outlets and electric power in the garages. So to attract that buyer group, we're going to start to see more garages pre-wired for that, extra circuits added on to deal with that. So those are the big ones. Those are the top nine reasons and upgrades that you can do without completely breaking the bank to attract the millennial buyers. The reason, once again, the reason we're talking about this subject and going over that, 2019, 42% of all new home loans.
Wow.
Another thing I want to mention briefly, I forgot to in our first segment to add this to my crazy real estate story. I do think it is prudent to track this.
Okay.
As we talk about what's going on. But speaking of mortgages, I don't like seeing stories like this released. But there was an article on Realtor.com that was released last week that said risky mortgages are making a little bit of a comeback. So none of us like to hear that because we know that increased risky mortgage lending, a lot of people, if you remember prior to 2008 and 2009, called that the liar's loan, where they were using stated income, meaning they just stated whatever they wanted.
I make $157,000 a year. So okay, here you go.
That caused a big part of our issue. So one of the things I do is I just kind of keep track of that data and what's happening. Those were called subprime loans. And those, a lot of mortgage bonds sometimes were backed by those unconventional loans. So $2.5 billion worth of those loans were done in first quarter of 2019. Now, the interesting thing about that is more than double the amount a year earlier. And in that quarter, That is the highest quarter since the end of 2007, according to Mortgage Finance, Inside Mortgage Finance. So just, you know, I'm always kind of, it's not near the level, you know, back in the day we were talking about, you know, $1 trillion of that garbage, you know, mucking up the housing. We're not nearly to those levels, but we're seeing, when I start to see
any of it,
things
really
like that happening in the market, we keep an eye on it.
Which is why you need to go through a reputable lender.
Yeah, and you might need to just look at your situation and see what do I need to fix so I can get to a regular type mortgage instead
of a subprime
mortgage.
Light bulb, does this have anything to do with the avalanche or tsunami of ads on TV where you push a button on your phone and you get your money?
Well, it makes it easier to look into what's going on there. So, yes, absolutely. You really want to pay attention to that end, get to a lender that can walk you through that process and decide, you know, what programs are right for you. So we'll keep an eye on that. Monitor that data, what's happening, and how that will affect the real estate market. Like to kind of look at some of those early indicators so that we know what is ahead and coming up in the future. As I wrap up today, though, what's in our future is some awesome new inventory. We've put on some great, great new listings, and last week does not disappoint. So this is just absolutely a fantastic estate property. Okay, I mean estate type quality product. 108133 East 217 PRSE. So this is out. This sits above Badger Canyon, has some of the best views I've seen in the Tri-Cities, where you overlook Badger Canyon, you overlook the rest of Tri-Cities. 4,700 square feet on 10 acres.
Wow.
18-foot ceilings as you come into this property in the marble entry. Hardwood floors. The kitchen is absolutely incredible. Granite counters, maple cabinets, crown molding, all the pullouts that you're going to see in the type of parade homes you go to. We're not even going to call the master side a master bedroom. We're going to call it a wing. I mean, it is massive and just absolutely very private, luxury private bath. Just huge, huge bedrooms. Then up on the upper level, you've got a family and a bonus room that has a half bath. I mean, I could just go on and on. Yes, you've got the rec room. Yes, you've got the theater room. Mm-hmm. Yes, you've got views of all of the view lines that we have. You see Badger Canyon, you see Badger Mountain, you see Candy Mountain. It is gorgeous up there. 1,440 square foot RV patio. So you can also park your RV up there. You have hookups for the RV. And then if you want to do a little prepping as a prepper, we have got wired for generator power. Ooh. So worried about losing power, being without power, flip a switch, fire up generator, you're good to go. That property coming in at $989,000. Now, I've helped clients with custom builds. I've helped clients find land to do custom builds on. You can't replicate this property for that price. So if you've thought about it, if you're on the edge of buying existing versus building, please give us a call. Go to our website. Check out 217 PRSE. Pick number two, 98908 East Clover Road. This is another fantastic acreage property. Just over 2 acres, 4-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler, all on one level, with a 30 by 30 shop. Tree line driveway brings you into this property. Absolutely fantastic home. Tile floors throughout the entire house. Large family room. You get your split bedroom design. You've got an awesome master suite with a slider out to the patio. 3 secondary bedrooms. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous property. Awesome landscaping, fully fenced backyard, built-in fire pit, another one with RV parking, and that's coming in at $650,000 for that property.
Wow.
And then pick number three, we don't get too many out here, but I'm going to take you down to just before you cross the bridge going into Oregon.
Okay.
We've got Plymouth, and so we've got a listing out in Plymouth. And so what you have is, I said just before you cross the bridge, that means what you have, 192203, you've got unobstructed Columbia River views.
Ooh.
So this is a super private, three-bed, two-bath Rambler, tons of potential, large, fully fenced, just over a half an acre, and a 40 by 20 shop.
Ooh.
So this property is 2160 square feet, original hardwood floors. You've got two living areas. They've gone through, they've updated the HVAC, updated the bathrooms. You're right across the road from the Plymouth Park and the boat launch. So that gets you right on the freeways, 25 minutes back to Tri-Cities.
Mm-hmm.
So normally, McKay, I tell you that something has unobstructed Columbia River views. What's the price?
$450,000
If you're lucky. Yeah, not even close. On if you were there in Tri-Cities looking for those river unobstructed river views, we'd be at like $750,000.
Okay.
The place I just described to you in Plymouth, you're going to get this for $260,000.
Oh.
Okay. So yeah, you got to jump on the freeway, head down there, check it out. Awesome, awesome property. And that's my pick three this week. We are putting a lot of great inventory on. There's a lot of action in the market. And like I mentioned when we started, those interest rates are crazy low. If you've been out of the market, you want to check back.
Mm-hmm.
Go to KenmoreTeam.com. Shoot us a message, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.